Today we celebrate Laetare Sunday because we're halfway through the Lenten season. So we're halfway there. It's almost Easter. And Holy Mother Church gives us this powerful parable of what we commonly call the prodigal son. Pope Benedict, though, said it would be better to be called the parable of the good and merciful Father, because the Father plays the central part in the parable. There's a basic principle in the spiritual life, a spiritual law, you could say, like the law of gravity. Vice, sin that is attractive and alluring and easy at the beginning. But the more one becomes enslaved to sin, the more one finds that it crushes them and debilitates them. Virtue, on the other hand, is the opposite. It's difficult, even arduous at the beginning, to form good habits. And yet, as those habits are formed, it becomes easy, second nature. One of the greatest sins of our age is achadia, or what we could call spiritual sloth. Spiritual sloth, of course, is one of those seven deadly sins. It's a certain kind of sluggishness when it comes to the things of God. You know I need to do my prayers, but I'll do them later. I really gotta watch that next episode of Breaking Bad. Okay, the youth in the room got that reference. All the boomers are like, what? Or, I'll get to it later. I just don't really feel like doing it. There's just a certain kind of, I know it's important, but I'll do it later. Right? And this really is important for us to recognize, because when we see it in ourselves, we have to recognize that it's actually a need to draw closer to God. In fact, you could say that the problem with the prodigal son is sloth. He's given himself to a life of debauchery and worldliness, spending his inheritance unwisely and imprudently on lavish dinners and meals, prostitutes. And within a year, he finds that everything he had is gone. And he says, well, I'll go and I'll hire myself. And he can't even find food on the farm to eat. And then it says, he came to his senses. I love that, right? Because sin is irrational. It's contrary to reason. It's contrary to our good. He comes to his senses, and he rises and says, I will go to my Father's house. How often you and I have felt that, a falling and feeling like we can't get back up again. The prodigal son, I will rise and go to my Father. How does he overcome his spiritual sloth? With trust and confidence in his Father's goodness. You see, that has to be for you and I what helps us overcome our sloth, especially when we fall into sin, is this radical trust in our Father's goodness and in his love for us. And notice he goes and he recognizes his need to confess his sin. It's interesting, as I was doing work with the church fathers and seeing how the church fathers interpreted this parable, Chrysostom put together four reasons, which I thought were rather interesting, from this parable on the value of confession of our sin. He gives these four reasons. He says, first, because a criminal ought to humble himself and confess his crimes if he wished to be forgiven. Right? We've done something wrong. We have to confess. The second, though, is my favorite. He says, because just as a stomach filled with coarse food must be purged through vomiting, now that's a rich image. Take that to prayer and meditation. So the soul which is full of sin must be purged through confession. So next time it's 2 a.m. and you're purging your stomach, think of that. But that's what it is. There's this need to get the poison out of us, to speak it to God, that it can be recognized and healed. The third reason, he says, is because the majesty of God. The majesty of God, which is offended by the sinner and requires repentance as reparation to his honor. And lastly, so that the sinner acknowledges that God is most holy while they themselves stand in need of his mercy. It's beautiful. God longs to pour his mercy on us, his sons and daughters. Just notice, the Father is watching and waiting for his Son. Because when his Son comes back, the Father sees him in a distance and runs to him. Why? Because God's love for us as his children is extravagant. It's excessive. It knows no limits. And the Father, he falls on his Son. And the Greek is a little different than the translation that we have, but it literally says the Father falls on the neck of his Son and embraces him and kisses him unceasingly. And the fathers of the church say that the sinner is humbled in God's embrace. We all know that powerful feeling when we walk out of the confessional and a weight has been lifted. We can feel almost the embrace of God, who we thought was disappointed in us and displeased. And rather we discover he always wanted all along to just love us. And the fathers say that the arms of the Father represent Christ, who through his incarnation is God coming to reconcile us as sinners to himself. And then this might have been the gem of all of the treasures I read from the fathers. It says, the Father kisses his Son on the lips. Okay, they're Middle Eastern, okay, so it's a little different than our culture. We're a little uncomfortable with those signs of affections, but that would have been normal for Middle Eastern culture. It is to this day, actually. But Chrysostom says, the mouth is kissed from which the heartfelt confession of the penitent proceeded. How beautiful. As the Son comes and says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against earth. The Father kisses him and restores him to the dignity of being a son. He restores him first by putting a robe back on him. Remember back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve had fallen, they were naked, and God had to clothe them with fig leaves. Right? That nakedness that comes is really, in the scriptures, a symbol of shame that comes from sin. And St. Paul says that Christ clothes us through his cross and resurrection in grace. And so just as the prodigal son is clothed, you and I have been clothed in Christ with his very life The ring was put back on his finger. The ring, a sign of being part of the covenant of the family. An image of intimacy, just like a husband and wife wear a ring to symbolize their fidelity to one another. The father placing the ring to show the family faithfulness in spite of sin. Then he's put shoes on the son's feet. Is a symbol that you and I and all who have been reconciled with God must go out and preach the gospel of repentance to others. Because those who have received the mercy of God cannot help but go and call other sinners to receive the Father's mercy. And lastly, the calf, the fattened calf, is slaughtered. And this symbolizes the Eucharist, the feast of faith that God gives to his children. But notice, and the fathers of the church are unanimous in this, that it's only after having been reconciled to his Father that he's able to partake of the feast. The same reason the church teaches that we have to be in the state of grace. And if we aren't, to first approach our Father in the sacrament of mercy and of confession before coming to the banquet feast in the Mass. Now, then there's the older brother, right? The envious, resentful older brother. A lesson for all of us, because it's so easy to become bitter when we see the sins of others and we see God's goodness, right? Instead of rejoicing at his brother's reconciliation, instead he pouts. You know, poor me. Why don't I get this? Well, the truth is that he already has everything that the Father has to give. But resentment has closed his heart off from being able to recognize it. And that's what Jesus is trying to show us in this parable. Everything God has, he gives to us as his children, if we only have the eyes of faith to see it. He's given us the indwelling of the Trinity in our souls through baptism. He's given us his very body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. He's given us his mother to be our spiritual mother at the foot of the cross. He's given each and every one of us a guardian angel who's been with us from the moment of our conception in our mother's womb and will be with us until our last breath in this life. God has bestowed blessing upon blessing and has held nothing back. Everything he has, he's already given to us. So brothers and sisters, rejoice. Because God is merciful. And like we heard in our second reading, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things come. Praise be Jesus Christ.